as good as you look. Amen. I'd rather be in church today than to be anywhere else in this world. This world. Now, I wouldn't feel bad if the rapture took place today. Wouldn't you like for that to happen? Wouldn't you like for that to happen?
Amen.
All right. You know, they were singing a while ago there about He is the reason. I was thinking, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I got irritated so many times during the Christmas holidays. When they were constantly saying, Happy Holiday. I always reminded them, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's the reason we have Christmas. Amen. Not Santa Claus. I used to believe in Santa Claus. I wrote him a letter one time, and I even sent it to the North Pole. And I told him I wanted a little red wagon. And he never did bring it. I quit believing in him. You know, there was one church that I pastored, and I told them that. They bought a little toy red wagon and set it on the pulpit. That wasn't what I was asking Santa Claus for. I wanted one that I could get in and ride. Amen. And that never did happen. We didn't get much Christmas time. I see people today, the gifts are piled under the Christmas tree. I was at my wife's granddaughter's house. They got a little boy, 3 years old, and he had so many packages they didn't know what to do with them. And They got him a motorcycle. They got him a four-wheeler. I don't know what else. Gobs of things that they got him. I said, you're going to be in trouble. Next year he's going to want a Corvette. A Jaguar. Don't be surprised if he says, Mom and Dad, I want a Jaguar next Christmas. But it's real joy to be here. I've enjoyed the good singing, enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, and enjoyed the choir singing, the specials. And Diane and Paul did a good job. And also Brother Rick and his wife. All right, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, or today, still preaching at night. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. So, I'll give you time to find that. If you don't have, if you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 688. If you don't have a Scofield, it's not my fault. Brother Chris. Did I call you Rick a while ago? Yes. Sorry about that. No. Chris.
Yes.
You was talking about the word. What was that word that you elaborated on?
Never.
Somebody gave me this, and I'll give this to you, charge you anything for it. John 10:28. In the Greek, I don't know a lot of Greek or Hebrew. The Greek that I know runs a restaurant. And the Hebrew I know has a clothing store, sells suits. And I don't speak many foreign languages. I speak a little Japanese and a little German, not much English. Would you like to hear a little Japanese? Huh? Toyota. And German is Volkswagen. That's the way it's pronounced over there. So that's about it. But I want to give you this here because it talks about how saved are you? How saved are you? Said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All right? In the Greek, it says this. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not, no, not at all, by any means, in any case, at any place, at any time, for any purpose, whether male or female, perpetually and eternally ever perish. Boy, that's got to say pretty good, isn't it? Huh? I'm not hanging on. I'm not holding out. I'm resting in the Lord Jesus. And if that ever dawns on you how saved you really are, you may have 15 spells before you realize what you've done. It's all right.
Amen.
I noticed listening that some of these television programs, they say it's all right to cry. Well, it's all right to shout. And I still do it. And if I get beside myself and have a shouting spell, I hope you won't hold it against me. Because the first place I went before I was born was church. As a matter of fact, that's where my mama went before I was born. And I heard the old saints of God shouting. He said, it's not possible. John the Baptist did. He had a shouting spell in the womb of Elizabeth before he was ever born. If you don't believe that, you look it up and see if it ain't so.
Amen.
That's right. Okay, you found that scripture by now, I guess. So, verse 28 says these words. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And if you look over in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, but it's there in the 19th chapter. And the 14th verse It's also in the 27th chapter and the 17th verse, and in Proverbs 23 and verse 10, those are other places that the Bible speaks about landmark. And God in His providence said, don't remove ancient landmarks.
Amen.
And so that's what I want to talk about today after I pray. Father, I want to thank You today for the privilege to be in church. Thank You for these precious people that have turned aside and come out to the house of God today. Lord, what a joy it is to be in church and worship our wonderful Savior, the one that went to the cross and died on Calvary's cross in order that we could be saved by the grace of God. And so, Father, I pray that You'll stir every heart. Bless the message today and use it to touch people's hearts. And help us today to realize that there are some strong and powerful landmarks that should never be removed. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of the landmarks of separation, dedication, and service have been removed from a lot of the churches today. They've been taken away and no longer remain. However, there are some landmarks that will never be changed, and man will never take away. And I'm glad that I can tell you that this morning, because that will happen. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that's changing in this day and hour in which we live. A lot of people change. A lot of churches change. And a lot of preachers and change today. But I want to tell you, there are some things and some landmarks that will never change as sure as you're sitting where you are today. And I'm glad I can tell you that. And so, you pray for us for just a little while. I want to give you some things that God gave me, and I hope that it'll help you and make you love Jesus a little more. The throne of God will survive. I want you to know that nobody will ever destroy the throne of God. I'm so glad of that, because I'm telling you today, the world hates God. That's the reason they don't want you to refer to this thing as Christmas, because they don't want the name of Jesus in there. They want you to call it Happy Holidays. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, it's not just a holiday. It's the day that we celebrate the birthday of our Savior. You say, how do you know it's the right one? Don't matter where it's the right day or not. We set aside a day nationally and even around the world where we celebrate the birthday, the day that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea. And I want to tell you today, Satan thought he could overthrow God. Old Slewfoot thought he could overthrow God and destroy God and get Him out of there. But he found out in Isaiah 14:12, he was cast out of heaven, and one day he will be cast into hell. I'm glad of that. I've had to put up with that old rascal for all of my life, and it doesn't get any easier. Somebody said, the older you get, the less the devil bothers you. I don't know who told you that. That's not so. The devil will bother you as long as you're breathing God's air in your lungs. He always there. You say, don't bother me. He's already got you then. Yeah. The reason why a lot of people are not, the devil doesn't bother them, because they don't bother the devil. Hello?
Amen.
Is anybody home? Now, y'all gonna help me preach.
Amen.
I'm not like Brother Joe. I can't preach without you help me.
Amen.
Cause I charge double when I have to do all the amening and the preaching too. And it takes me about twice as long. So if y'all want to stay here, amen, Brother Ray. Now, if I have to do that all morning, y'all going to be in trouble.
Amen.
All right. All right. That's good. Now we're getting somewhere. And Satan over in Isaiah 14 and 12. God cast Satan out and all the angels that he took with him. And brother, his destination is marked. If you want to know where he's headed, I'll show you exactly where he's headed. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, I like to read this because the devil don't like to be reminded of where he's headed. He's headed for the pit. Listen to what it said in Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Amen.
Now, boy, I don't know if that does anything for you or not, but that makes me feel good all over. Because I know that one of these days I'm going to be rid of him. He thought he could overthrow the throne of God. And in our lifetime, we've seen a lot of thrones that's been overthrown. Even in my lifetime, I guess I'm probably one of the most excited persons that's ever been because of this. God has allowed me to live from the horse and buggy days to the Sputnik and the, what they've got up there. Now I'm going to tell you, that to me is amazing. It's wonderful to know that God has let me live through this span. And I've seen a lot of people, their thrones overthrown. I remember the Shah of Iran. He was overthrown. I remember Batista down here 90 miles from the coast of Florida. His throne was overturned. And Castro took over down there. And I remember Marcos in the Philippines. Was overthrown. I remember Adolf Hitler's throne was overthrown. I remember Mussolini's throne was overthrown. And I could go on and name you people that their thrones have been overthrown, but I want to tell you this morning, thank be unto God, God's throne will never go down. Boy, I like that. I like that. Amen. Yeah, and so, though all hell be turned loose, God's throne will remain forever. Oh, I bless the Lord for that. I'm so glad that, hey, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And he's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. You think about that. There won't be no politicians. Boy, that's an ugly word, ain't it? I'm telling you, we won't need no politicians when Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and the Bible said that he'll rule this earth with a rod of iron. And brother, nobody will overthrow him. Nobody will defeat him. He is the powerful one. He's the one that is running this thing. And he's always running, and he can still run it.
Amen.
So my friend, man had tried to drag God down. You remember, I don't know if some of you older people remember this, but you young people may read about it in the history books. But Nikita Khrushchev, that's a Russian, I speak that. I forgot about that. He came over here and got up there at the United Nations and took his shoe off of one of his feet, beat on the podium with his shoe. And he said, "We will drag God out of heaven." He said, "God has been forgotten. God has defied. And God is called the man upstairs. But that's not who he is. He is Jehovah God."
Amen.
Jehovah God, he is in charge today.
Amen.
Did you know he let the sun come up this morning over the eastern horizon, and he'll let it set over the western horizon? And it has never failed since the day that he put it up there.
Right.
That's my God. Why shouldn't I brag on him? Why shouldn't I be thrilled that I have a God like that? I want to tell you folks, I've got something to shout about today.
Amen.
And so, he's not the man upstairs. Men may ignore and deny God, but his throne will stand forever.
Amen.
You rest assured of that. Nobody's going to destroy his throne. And then I want you to see the second thing. The cross of Christ will survive and will never be destroyed by man. Oh, I'm so glad that on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, for a world of lost sinners were slain. Oh, I'm so glad that I can tell you today that the cross of Christ is still in effect. It's still, you can look to the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy every day. Oh, my friend, it's wonderful to know that the cross of Christ will stand forever. The cross cannot be destroyed. A man may mock and ridicule, but they cannot do away with the cross. Let me turn over here to Corinthians, I believe it is. Along about the second chapter, I believe. That's 2 Corinthians. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. I want to tell you this morning, dear friend, the cross of Christ, it may be to a lot of people foolishness. They may think that it's not important. They may think that the cross doesn't mean anything. But I want to tell you, that's where God sent his only son. And that's where Jesus paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
You'd be in hell or on your way if it hadn't have been for the cross. I'm so glad that I love that song, "At the Cross, at the Cross." And then there's another great old song that says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. I'm telling you today, dear friend, the cross of Christ will never be destroyed. To the Jew, it was a stumbling block. And to the Greek, it was foolishness. But to the world, it was a symbol of God's love. I'm telling you today, friend, the cross is the greatest emblem that we have today. Oh, at the cross, that's where you begin to live. You see, you don't live until you come to the cross. And the world today thinks that if I can just do my thing and go and do what I want to do, I'll be happy. No, I want to tell you today, you'll never be happy with things and gadgets and places and doings. You'll never be happy there. You'll not be happy until the day that you get acquainted with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So, it's to us that are saved, it's the power of God. And then the Word of God will survive.
Amen.
Hey, this will never go down. I'm telling you, the Word of God got here before anybody in this house got here. And brother, it'll be here after all of us are gone. The Word of God will never be destroyed. Modernism can't take it away. Cannot destroy the Bible. The Bible is indestructible. In Matthew 24 and verse 35 said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." This is what I've been using for 54 years. 54 years I've been preaching out of this blessed old book. And I'm telling you, it's still just as important and true. Oh, I know a lot of preachers have thrown it aside and they've thrown this out and that out and they've tried to destroy the Bible. Let me tell you something right here. The Bible is indispensable.
Amen.
It cannot be destroyed. The Bible is infallible. You got to have it. Did you know I'm addicted to this? I got to have it. I got to have this Bible. I couldn't be anywhere that I couldn't have my Bible. The Bible is God's infallible word. Did you know that he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds from the throne of God. If man could destroy the throne of God, he could destroy this book. But I want to tell you today, hallelujah, for the fact that he cannot destroy God's throne and he cannot destroy his book. Listen to this. The Bible will survive in spite of the atheist. Madeline Mary O'Hare said that this book was nothing but a book of pornography. She's in hell today, and the Word of God still stands. Voltaire, the atheist, listen to what he said. He said, 100 years, and the Bible will be no more. Today, the Geneva Bible Society is printing Bibles in the very house that he made that statement. Hallelujah, brother. I'm telling you, you can't defeat God. Amen. You sing that song? Do y'all still sing that song? I'm on the winning side? Boy, I'm telling you, that's a good one. You sung that other one I like awful well. Where I know I'm saved. If you don't know today that you're saved as well as you know that you're breathing, you ought to make a trip down here and stay there till you get something you know about. Bob Ingersoll, another atheist, stood with a Bible in his hand and said, 15 years from now, there'll be no Bibles. 15 years later, he was in the grave and his soul in hell, and the Bible's still here. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I like that. As they used to say, I dig that. Amen. Boy, that means something to me. But I'm going to give you something else here. I'm about done. If you'll pray hard and start saying amen, I may get through quicker than you think. The name of Jesus will survive. A man asked George Whitefield if he and the Wesleys were going to start a new denomination. He said, I do not know what they will do. But as for me, let my name perish, but let the name of Jesus live forever. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The sweetest name I know. Amen. He fills my every longing. Amen. Keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Oh boy, I'm telling you, we need to be able to say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. So it's wonderful. Though his name, through his name, men are saved. In Acts 4 and verse 12, listen to this verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name except the name of Jesus. I mean, the Baptists won't save you. Catholics won't save you. Methodists won't save you. Whiskeypalians won't save you. Baptism won't save you. There's not but one name that'll keep your soul from burning in hell forever, and that's Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you better stop long enough and get saved, because that's the only remedy, the only escape. And then the church will survive. Not all denominations will survive. But I'm talking about his church. Amen. Some will be rooted up. In Matthew 15 and verse 13, it said, every tree which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. God didn't plant every church. He only planted those that are fundamental, Bible believing, Bible preaching. A church that don't preach this Bible don't deserve to be going on. The church that Jesus built, he said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, they said, some of them say that you're John the Baptist. Some of them say that you're Elijah. Are you Jeremiah, one of the prophets? But Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And old Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm telling you, that's the only thing that saves men. I wish people knew that. I wish people believed that. And then last of all, those that are saved will survive. Amen. Those that are saved, the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to destroy you. But you're on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. And thank God, a sure thing, in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. You know what? I like that old song. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though tempests may sweep over life's stormy deep, but I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Isn't that good? I'm so glad today that I don't have to lay down on my bed at night and wring my hands and fret and wonder, oh, what about maybe the devil will get me right at the last minute? Not a chance. Not a chance.
Amen.
Jesus said, you're in my Father's hands, and I'm in his hands. And no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, brother, that makes me pretty saved.
Amen.
You know it? And I wouldn't take this world for the hope that I've got in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, there's some thrones that won't stand, but there's some that will.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for helping me to preach today. I've tried just to tell them what I thought you would say if you were standing here in person. And we know that this life is very brief. We're here today and we may be gone tomorrow. We know not what a day shall bring forth. There may be somebody in this house today that's unsaved. I don't know their heart. But oh, my Father, if there's one person in this house that's unsaved, or if there's one here that's out of fellowship with God, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart, and may they respond in a very definite way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What number are we going to say?
119. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. Let's stand together. If God spoke to your heart today, you leave your seat.